sorry. I didn't see you there at this predetermined time that we said we would go live for an event, audience. Hello, I am Q, your humble host for tonight's The Last Word, and I am joined by a magnificent panel. Let's see if I can point the right direction. Nope. Yep. A magnificent panel down below me and to the left or right of me. I don't know sides. It doesn't matter. Quit shaming me, internet. Outside of that, these wonderful people have decided to compete head-to-head against the most cutthroat pop culture-centric competition on the interwebs. Now, some of them may look familiar to you. All of them should look familiar to you because they have all been contestants on The Last Word. So, if you will, this is like a tournament of champions, .. and losers. I would love to introduce you all to OC. What's happening, OC?
How you guys doing?
So pumped to have you back. Man, last time you were on, that was stiff competition, my friend.
Came down to the wire.
I'm excited. I was speaking with you earlier. I know you said that you have like actively been researching and preparing. You showed me stacks of manila folders like this big of paperwork that you had printed out. Not for this at all. You just threw it away, but you were like, look at this amount of work. It's unrelated to this, but I did a lot of work, I promise. So I'm excited to see how that turns out for you on this episode. Next up, we have Sarah, right here. This is so disorienting to point to. How's it going, Sarah?
Excellent.
Now, it's Sarah.
Like a billion degrees.
A gazillion?
A gazillion degrees in California.
You must be from the sun.
Oh, yes.
How is life on the sun these days?
My burning personality, you know.
Now, people may know Sarah from not just The Last Word, but also Con Moms on the Project Nerd Podcast Network, which is a fantastic video series. If you have not checked it out, please navigate your way to the Project Nerd YouTube. Well, like, not now. Stop. Stay here for now. But afterwards, navigate yourself to the Project Nerd YouTube channel and check out Con Moms. And last, but definitely not least, we have Andrew. What's happening, Andrew?
What's up, guys? Yes, I am right below you. You got the point exactly correct. So good
that
for you.
That one was easier. Thank you.
One, two, three tries. it's just great to be here. I've won an episode and I've lost an episode. So... I don't know how I feel. I'm ready to be here though. Excited.
Now I will say this, and maybe I'm breaking news right here on the show live. And if so, awesome. Then all of you people watching, all three of you right now, you're about to get some brand new cutting bleeding edge news. And that is that our generous benefactor Iggy at Project Nerd has decided to step back from The Last Word. And instead, he has handed the reins to both a loser and a champion of The Last Word. Andrew will be taking over hosting duties as well, alternating with me.
He approached me as a loser first and a champion second. So
sure. Yeah. So and that's just what sealed the deal.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you lost with grace. That's what he said.
So. Well, I want to let everybody know we are super excited. For those of you who are not familiar with The Last Word, the rules are pretty simple. Our contestants here are going to discuss over three rounds. We're just going to stick with three rounds. I'm not doing an elimination this first round. Normally, we have four contestants. I'm sure some of you who watch the show religiously are like, hey, where's the fourth contestant? And I ask the same question. Hey, where is my fourth contestant? I have no idea. So, you know what? On Project Nerd, we just roll with the punches, baby. We just keep it going. We're not going to let anything slow us down, break our stride. You know that song. Anyway, I will say that the game is going to consist of three rounds. The first two rounds consist of two questions each. The last and final round consisting of one question. And originally, if we had all four contestants, our contestants would get slowly whittled down over those first two rounds, leaving two contestants going head-to-head in the third and final round. And what are they competing for? Well, it's the title of the show. They're competing for The Last Word. Now, because we don't have a fourth contestant this evening, I have decided that the first round is just going to be for funsies. It's just going to be to prime your pop culture pumps, if you will. I'm going to still award points, and those points will carry over to the second round. So please don't think you can just phone in your answers for the first two questions, because you will be judged, and you will be judged hard. So for those of you who are here and are ready to participate, shall we get started with round one?
Let's do it.
Doot, doot, boop, 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 round one. Here it comes, and it's going to be so awesome fun, and everybody's going to have great answers because they decided to show up. Perfectly timed. All right. Now, we're just going to dive right into things. This is something that's been on my mind lately, and I am very curious to see where you guys stand on this. With Indiana Jones 5, guys, Indiana Jones 5, well into production, and news breaking that the 78-year-old star has injured his shoulder during a recent scene rehearsal. Just so you know, he is 78 years old, so that makes sense. A question has popped to mind. Should we be making an Indiana Jones 5? Should we be rebooting it instead? And maybe let Harrison have a rest? Or should we just leave the franchise alone to collect dust like the Secret Museum of Wonders inside Area 51? I'm going to go with Sarah, give us our first answer of the evening. What do you think?
Oh man, I am so excited about this one. I feel like it should be a relic and we shouldn't have it. Like, I mean, there's certain movies that we know have reached like a 9 in the numbers, which that's a whole other question. But like, yeah, I would look at certain the fact that we have a relic, not to be ageist, who is her rehearsal. And I'm kind of like, I don't know how I feel about this. I think we should leave it like in the library, like the librarians, and just leave it there. I'm not.
To just look at.
I'm really not. Yes.
I was hoping you would say, I don't know what happened. Why did that go again? Ah, I mean, I'm so sorry.
And I don't want a remake because I want us to have new creative ideas. I mean, we're not even talking about the Han Solo movie where they got another actor to play him and it was just someone that didn't even look like him. So I'm like, I don't even want a remake of Indiana Jones because you're going to ruin it. So. Sure.
So no remakes.
No.
No.
Keep the perfection.
No continuation. Just leave it alone. Let it sit
in
its glory.
We got a wrap-up story already. Why do we need
to? Some may say that you believe it belongs in a museum. Is that correct?
I would wholeheartedly say that.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, that's starting off strong. Let's go with Andrew next. Andrew, what do you got?
You know what belongs in a museum is that kind of old school thinking you've got there, Sarah. I really firmly believe in this, that basically I think that anything should get a sequel or a remake, because unless it's like really good or really tops the source material, no one's going to talk about it anyway. I mean, when we talk about Total Recall, we're not talking about Colin Farrell, you know, it's just, that doesn't come up ever anymore. If the movie was awesome, then maybe we would. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I was trying to think of a few examples, and I'm sure that there are a couple where the remakes are like Dawn of the Dead, for example, Zack Snyder's a really good remake of an original that people really liked. So, and it has not in any way taken away from the original. You know, one of my favorite part about Indiana Jones is how indie fans draw the line at aliens when people's faces are getting melted off after they drink out of a cup. You know, so it's like a weird, there's like a weird thing here that's like, for some reason that people were out on that. And I think that's souring opinions, right? Going for Indy 5. We already have a reboot being made and it's called Uncharted starring Tom Holland. So we don't need another reboot of that. If this were Steven Spielberg, I probably would agree with you, Sarah, that this should just be done. But James Mangold's directing. And so having just like even that one fresh like voice in there, I think can do a really good job of making this something new. They've done a lot of mocap stuff with Harrison Ford masks. Like there's been guys spotted, like, so there's probably going to be some de-aging stuff that Disney's been working on that'll get thrown in there too. And just at the end of the day, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of the best action movies ever made still, you know, and that came out almost, I think it was like 40 years ago. So, you know, I think I'm excited for this. I mean, I'm down for Harrison Ford to make movies until he can't anymore. So.
I like that opinion. I will say, just to kind of rebut to what you were saying, I don't know that fans jumped off the train when Aliens happened. I think fans jumped off the train when CG monkeys and Shia
LaBeouf. Listen, now, if you remove the Shia LaBeouf scenes from that movie.
Excuse me, he prefers actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. And if he wasn't so damn weird, maybe the movie would have been received better, but
it's true. That's fair. That's
I'm
fair.
I'm still here for Indy 5 though. I mean, honestly, like I'm really excited for it. James Mangold has put off some good movies in the last 5 years, so I'm
down. So you're in the camp, just to make sure I understand, you're in the camp as opposed to Sarah of let's see Indy 5.
Let's see what happens. 100%.
Keep it alive. Yep. Indy 5 is alive.
Yes.
OC, what do you got for me?
Okay. So way against what Sarah was saying. Andrew, I kind of agree with you, only because like I don't think everything should get a sequel. I'm tired of Sharknados. So we need to cut that down. As far as this goes, Harrison Ford is a legend, and he deserves to go out in battle with a whip in one hand, a cane in the other hand, and basically it should be called Indiana Jones and the Battle of Get Off My Lawn. Like, he should be going off. Like, he should be going until he's completely unable to move anymore.
So you want Indy 5 to be Gran Torino?
I want Indy. I want Indy 9 to be Gran Torino.
Whoa!
Like, keep it going. Like, let this man go until he doesn't want to go anymore. Like, let him go out on his own terms. Like, even as early as late as January, he was saying how much he loved playing Indiana Jones. Like, sure. In comparison to, like, playing Han, like, he doesn't feel for the character as he does Indy. Like, he likes playing this. And I'm not going to be one person who's, like, trying to shun a man into retiring. Like, if you get hurt and he still wants to do it, let him do it. Like, I'm all for just letting these guys work until they're done working. It's better than sitting at home. We're giving these guys jobs. And the fans love it. Like, the nostalgia value is going to make money for some people. Some people are going to be turned off. But it's not going to tarnish the reputation of what Raiders of the Lost Ark was. Like, it's still going to be a classic. No matter how this movie turns out, we're still going to love the original work. Now we're just getting more content from characters that we've loved and that we've grown up with. So I am all for it. As far as reboots go, Andrew really touched on it. We have Uncharted coming out. That's basically Indiana Jones light. We have Tomb Raider, which is like another Indiana Jones type movies. Like, we've had reboots of this. I really don't think that we should do it again with the same characters when we have so many things that are similar. I really just think we should just ride Harrison to the wheels falls off.
All right. I'm into it. I fully support it. So just to confirm before I award points for this first question, you are also in the camp of let Harrison do his thing. Let's just keep going. Let's have Indy 5, 6, 7, 8, 25 if he can last that long.
Yeah, yep, all for all right. It.
Cool. I'm into it. Here's my thoughts on the subject, right? I very much agree with OC and Andrew in the comments of I don't think that any sort of rebooting can, quote, ruin a franchise. I have never been a believer of that. I think you only let it ruin franchises if you let it ruin it for a franchise, right? I remember the biggest heat that was received in my day of a franchise that I loved so far has been for the 2016 Ghostbusters reboot. I remember so many people pissing and moaning about that movie and being like, oh, it's tainting the memory of Ghostbusters. And I'm like, just Ghostbusters? Do you remember Ghostbusters 2? It wasn't fantastic. It was pretty good, but it wasn't amazing. Who cares? Let them remake Ghostbusters. I want to see what... I loved all the comedians. Now, I will say here on air, anybody who's ever listened to me on any other podcast, I do have a weird distaste for Melissa McCarthy. I'm not 100% sure why, but something about her acting turns me off. So I was very excited about most of the cast of that movie. I don't know what it is. It may be a personal thing. Maybe her and I just need to like have a conversation together. If you're listening, Melissa, reach out to me. Have your people call my people. But outside of that, I was the biggest proponent of let's just see it. Let's see the reboot. Who cares? Like, let's see what they do. I'm open to it being hilarious and funny. So I am open. Sarah, I appreciate the thought that you put into it. I gave you 3 points for this question because I will say that I disagree. I don't think that it belongs in a museum. I am actually maybe even going against OC and Andrew. I wouldn't even mind a reboot. Like, I don't care. I still have the originals. Doesn't matter. They kind of did a reboot in Young Indiana Jones, the like mini movie series that starred Patrick O'Flannery, the guy from Powder. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but really also Boondock Saints, guys. He was also in Boondock
Saints. The fact that you went with Powder.
I thought you went with Powder first.
That's the best reference, let's be honest, right?
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
But yeah, so I respect your opinion, but I gave you 3 points. OC and Andrew, you both kind of said the same thing, both passionately. OC did have a little bit more octogenarian love, which I appreciated. He was like, let the old man do his thing. It's fine. So I like that. But you both get 5 points. So at the end of the first question, round one, Andrew, 5 points. OC, 5 points. Sarah, 3 points. Let's get into question two. All right. Stadia, you guys. Am I right? Oh, you've never heard of Stadia? Well, then I guess you are like most of the civilized world then. But seriously, Stadia is Google's cloud video gaming initiative. Picture this, a mythical world where there's no PCs, no PS5s, no Xboxes needed. Instead, you just buy a controller, link it to your streaming device, and in Stadia's case, that would be your Google Chromecast. Hey, Google, we're looking at you, sponsor this video. Pay for your own subscription and away you go, right? And they aren't the only giant in the game. Amazon is getting into it as well with their service called Luna. Now, these are just the two biggest examples of this, but there are plenty of small guys who are also getting into the field. So with that said, is this, excuse me, I forgot the most important part. One of the biggest parts of this argument. PS5s and Xbox Series X's or whatever it's called, I don't know if you guys know this, little secret, they're still incredibly hard to get, even 7 to 8 months after their launch. It's ridiculous. So that said, is cloud gaming an industry disruptor or just a mild diversion? Let's go with OC first on this one. What do you got, OC?
Okay, so I'm going to start off with saying it's a mild diversion. Okay. This isn't even new. Cloud gaming is not new. Xbox has been doing it for at least the last 8-9 months with their Game Pass. So this is something that they've been doing for a while. It's something that's been very popular. But it's not going to replace console gaming. When it comes down to console gaming, it's just like Android versus iPhones. People are bragging about what they have inside of their phone or what they have inside of their console, especially when you look at the master race of PC owners. They will put thousands of dollars just to say that they have extra RAM and extra processing speed in their things. You're not going to be having that when you have cloud gaming. So cloud gaming is great for what it is. It's going to get the casual gamers. Casual gamers are going to love it. I can play on my phone at the airport. I can play in my bed, whether I have a TV or not. I can play off my tablet. It's great to have that, but consoles are still going to be the major thing. They're still going to be what drives gaming tournaments. Esports is all going to be console-based. You're not going to have cloud-based off of that because I need to know that I have more teraflops than my opponent. I need to know that I have more RAM and stuff like that. The casual gamer, great. Mainstream is still going to be console.
All right, I like it. Strong opinion. So you're console all the way. And you're like, cloud gaming is awesome, but it's its own niche. It's not going to replace one or the other. All right, into it. Let's go with Sarah. What do you got, Sarah?
I mean, as much as I am ready for my Ready Player One moment, I am an Xbox girl until I die or they die. So I'm just saying. For me, I love the benefit of cloud gaming, but I really, really don't think consoles are going anywhere, at least until several generations down the road when we can decide to make things better cloud-wise. I'm sure maybe generations down the road, they'll be like, I don't need this. I'm all dig. Let's go. And I think for cloud gaming that it's not a disruptor. They're just taking advantage right now of the moment. I feel like they probably launched it a little faster than they wanted because they're like, ooh, this stuff is still sold out because of a pandemic. It's hard to get. Production's low. Let's launch this. Let's make bank. So I think that's why they did it now. And I think because some of the stuff's pretty glitchy still. So to me, I think it's just them taking opportunity and running with it, seizing their monies.
I respect that. Let's be honest. It's what most of these companies are in the game for. Give me that money. All of it. Any of it. Empty your wallets into my hands. I like that opinion. I respect it. Sounds like you're on the same page as OC. Maybe a little less passionate about the cloud gaming, though, as its own niche. So find that interesting. But Andrew, what do you have that differs from these two?
So nothing at all. No, I couldn't disagree more with both of them. I think we're I think we're talking from a perspective of people who play video games a lot. I don't really know you guys too well, but I'm assuming that you guys play video games. And so just looking at stats, right, for gamers, like, and these are from some different census websites, but 2.7 billion mobile gamers, 2.2 billion active mobile gamers in the world. You know, that's like almost a third of the world population is playing some kind of game on their phone. And the future of cloud gaming is really trying to capture people that are playing games on their phones. And I think that that is where you're looking at, like, for example, xCloud, which is the Microsoft service, which wasn't even mentioned. And I think that there's, you know, between xCloud, Luna, and Stadia, I really do think that this is the future. Now, there's problems brought up with internet stabilization and things like that. But, you know, most people that I know that game, they don't notice a lot of the things that I do when I game, like latency and controller input lag. And like, most people just want to sit down for an hour after work and have fun. And that is a incredibly valid market, you know, as far as gamers go. And that's probably a large portion of gamers. Microsoft, a couple of years ago, there's a rumor that they were going to have an actual like stick basically that would plug into smart TVs that would be an xCloud service. And it's still rumored that they're going to come out with that. And actually right now they're rumored to be working with Samsung to put an Xbox xCloud app on Samsung smart TVs. So there's like they're trying to really push this to go forward. You know, a lot of it is internet based, of course, but you know, with Starlink and with improvements in 5G, we're going to get to a point really quickly in the next few years where they're going to push to cloud gaming. And I actually think, you know, my bold prediction on this is that I think Microsoft, this generation, will be their final generation of physical consoles. Now, I think that they're going to have streaming devices, so it's not going to be like traditional consoles going forward. But I think that, you know, whatever the next gen is, 10 years, 8 years from now, there'll be streaming devices that will be able to play like all the content from a server somewhere. And I really think that that's going to be, now to your point that both you guys made, PlayStation doesn't seem like they care at all about doing any of the cloud gaming, and Nintendo plays by their own rules. I mean, they play by, you know, fun is king, and who cares about internet play, and they want that couch play. So I do think consoles are always going to be around, but I think that cloud gaming is easily the future. I mean, even looking at Switch plays Hitman 3 right now through cloud gaming, and it looks pretty good. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of physical limitations that the devices have. They're not going to have to play by those rules anymore because cloud gaming. So, yeah, I feel really strongly about this one. I think cloud gaming is definitely the future.
I love that. I am very interested because we had some differing opinions, and I love that. That gives me real things to dig in and grade. Now, I will give you my opinion. As a tech guy, I would say that I'm a tech guy over a gamer guy. I do own a PS5, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to cringe when they hear this, but I play it once a month, maybe. So I'm sure a lot of people are like, F you, man, I can't even get one right now. And to you, I'm very sorry. But I will say this. The tech aspect of cloud gaming intrigues me. I will say, you guys can probably see that I have a Oculus Quest 2 hanging here. And what really sparked this thought for me was I am a Mac guy, right? I have a Mac, which is not built for VR, PC VR. And there is a company called Shadow PC that is now doing essentially a cloud PC, a high-end cloud gaming PC that I could subscribe for a monthly service, and I can play PC VR level quality games through AirLink on my Oculus Quest 2. For me, that's really, really cool because the tech side. It's not that the games are great. It's just like, oh, wow, this is super cutting edge and immersive and neat. So I tend to agree with Andrew. I do think the future kind of lies in there. As a dude who worked in an electronics store for like the first 11 years of his career, I saw Blu-ray coming. I remember HD DVD. I remember the war and people being like, Blu-ray or HD DVD is the way of the future. I remember being like, nah, man, digital is going to be the way of the future. Neither one of these are going to exist in a few years. And sure enough, here we are, you know, a decade later. And that's pretty much accurate. So I have a feeling physical media in gaming is trending that way as well. I agree with Andrew that I do think that physical consoles will exist in some form. But I read an article, I don't know, about a month ago that said that pretty much like Microsoft and Sony have kind of topped out on what they can do hardware wise in their systems at a price point that still puts it in people's homes. And so for that reason alone, I think that as a business strategy, they're going to have to start looking at other ways to engage the customers that they're going after. And I do think that that is going to be in a cloud-based format. So Andrew, I'm going to award you 6 points for your answer. I think I tend to agree with you. Now, that's not to say that I don't agree with OC and Sarah either. I think both of you had strong points. So I'm going to give you both 5. I'm going to put you just slightly under Andrew because he has the same thought process as me. But that takes us into round 2. And let me recap where you guys stand. OC, you are at 10 points going into round 2. Andrew, you are at 11 points going into round 2. And Sarah, you are at 8 points going into round 2. Now, this game, since we are missing our fourth contestant, you all get to move to round 2. Isn't that exciting?
Yay.
I'm excited. You should be excited. Let's get into round 2. Doop-a-doo. It's round 2. Hey, everybody, check it out. It's round 2. Doop-a-doop. Perfect. And we're back. So round 2, this is where the points really start to matter, which is a hilarious statement because the points are made up the entire time. So really, they never matter. Or do they? I don't know. I'm confused. Let's get to question 1. That is it. Speaking of confusion, there are officially too many universes to count. The MCU appears to be gearing up to unleash multiverse madness. I'm looking at you, Doctor Strange. And the DCEU seems to be trying to course correct whatever it was that they were doing in the first place by introducing the multiverse via the new Flash movie. But this begs the question, is this verse big enough for 2 multiverses? And do you really see either one of these pulling it off successfully? Let's go with Andrew, what do you got? Cool.
So I think that like DC's been accidentally pulling off a fairly successful multiverse because they have no idea what they want to do. And so they've been just making all this random stuff that has kind of worked on its own. And it's like almost they've stumbled into this, you know, doing one shots basically on all of their stories and characters. And I'm all for that. I think that's a really good way to look at a multiverse. You know, they've got their Todd Phillips Joker over here, and they've got their, you know, their Zack Snyder stuff over in this Tupperware, the container that they'll hide for later maybe. And then they got, you know, all the frontline stuff that they want to put out now with Michael Keaton and all this multiverse that they're going with. I think that they're setting themselves up to do that, just that basically, to have one-off stories with occasionally connected bigger kind of put together stories. You know, Marvel, to me, they're doing a good one connected story through all these different threads with all these different characters. And it's very, to me, it feels very different. It's like one main story versus a bunch of little things. And so I think they can both succeed. Now, I think the problem is going to be is that DC has a horrible track record of trying to copy what Marvel does. And so if they try to continue to go along that path, they're not going to do very well. And I think it's going to end up burning them out more. Basically, DC just needs to have Kevin Feige come over and produce all of their movies so that they can figure something out. But the way it is right now, I'm down for this. I'm down for some different separate 2-3 story arc DC films on this side, you know, with the multiverse. And then, you know, over in Marvel, they're doing the one main thread. And who knows, maybe with DC, that means that we can get a Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton, Batman movie someday.
I dig that thought. So just to clarify, you think this verse is big enough for 2 verses? 2
yes.
Multiverses.
Yes, yes. As long as DC doesn't copy Marvel again, I think they're going to be fine.
All right. Interesting take. OC, what do you got?
Okay, so basically what Andrew was saying, that DCEU is just making movies. I mean, they're one shots. They're just making movies. So for me, that is not going, I don't think it's going to turn out into a good multiverse. Like, I mean, they're going to have to find ways to link it. I know they're trying to use Flashpoint. They did a very lazy thing with the Crisis of Infinite Earths on CW to make them all seem like into one thing. I just think that that's a bad approach. They had really no blueprint to go off with. They started off bad, and now they're just kind of pick up the pieces. Kind of like you said in the question, they have no clue what they're doing. They don't really know exactly where they even want to end up. So I just think that's a pretty bad roadmap, especially because most of their movies individually don't even know what they want to be. I mean, you look at Shazam, you had the actual main, like the superhero version of him, a child who was very just playful and things like that. But then you had Billy, a very serious kid. Like, it didn't know whether it wanted to be a comedy or it wanted to be something hardcore. Like, their own single movies don't even mesh well together for me, for me to have faith in them to put together a whole universe. But when you look at Marvel, they're killing everything that they do. Everything they put out, gold. All their movies, they're the most patient company I've ever seen. They did 10 years to set up two movies. They put out, now they're working with TV shows that are coming out weekly that are hits every single week. Like, WandaVision was hit. Captain America and Falcon, hit. And now we got Loki, which is, again, using minor characters, creating hits. Like, everything that Marvel touches, gold. I have complete faith that whatever they do with this multiverse is going to be fire. So I think that there may be room for two multiverses, but only one's going to be relevant, and that's going to be Marvel. DC is going to do whatever DC is doing.
Win Oscars is what they're going to do.
I like it. Sarah, what do you got for us?
As much as I really want a Batman movie with all the Batmans, because I love Batman, I don't think DC copies Marvel. I think DC flails because it doesn't know what it wants from itself. I think there is just flailing. And I'm rewatching all of the MCU movies right now in order and prep for Black Widow, because she's my girl. And just seeing like how far that they've planned that, like, was really impressive to me. Like, just even watching the end scene credits in order, I'm like, you know, they had this all planned out from the beginning, or at least they faked it till they made it. But like, I'm impressed. My only thing is, like, as someone who writes and stuff, is I'm worried that they're going to get too grand plans. Like, I'm very hesitant about the multiverse. Like, I think they're pretty solid and they have a solid base and they've kept it. But like, the thing is, like, I'm worried they're going to go too grand and it's getting in over their heads is what I'm concerned about. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I do think both can exist because they are different. I just think one of them is going to disintegrate and possibly the other. So
I was worried about Marvel until we saw the three shows they came out with this year, because they were getting very like formulaic, and then like they've just been killing it again. Like you said, OC all year this year, killing it.
I couldn't agree more. So great answers all around the board this round or this question. I'm going to interject here just a little bit, and I will say that I think there's only one thing, and I've said it before across a couple different podcasts, but the multiverse for me was the only way that DC movies continue to get made. I think people are so kind of used to and institutionalized by MCU as the superhero standard right now, that no matter what DC does, they're going to be compared to the MCU. And so they really are kind of set up to fail unless they embrace what makes them strange, which is that all of their movies are tonally kind of different and they do have kind of this weird perspective on things. I'm going to take it a step further and say that the only way that they really end up succeeding is by taking a page from Marvel's book, but it's not in a shared universe. The only way that they're going to succeed is DC has to dig into their lesser known characters. That is the only way they are going to survive. Right now, the way that they're operating is, if it doesn't have Batman or Wonder Woman or Aquaman or The Flash, It doesn't matter. And unless it's a Batman villain, we don't care about it. And the problem is DC actually has some pretty decent characters, but it's not any of those, except for Batman, because Batman's awesome. But outside of that, the only way that they're going to succeed is to really embrace those smaller characters, kind of like Marvel was forced to do by rights issues, right? They had to pick their smaller characters. And, you know, Iron Man was nobody before they started making movies about it. It was a B-level character at best. And so that was kind of one of those things. I will say that I totally agree with the statement that Marvel has been kind of getting formulaic as far as the movies that they put out. Sarah, I know you said you're super pumped for Black Widow. I like Black Widow, the comic book character, a lot. I really don't like what's been done with the character in the MCU. I think it's boring. I think they've turned her into like a background character. The forced Hulk love interest was weird. I think there was just a bunch of kind of misfires on that. But where they are crushing it right now, and I talked to Iggy, I think, about this on Versus, is they are crushing it on Disney Plus. Their TV series are unique and different and weird, and they're taking stories in odd directions because they feel a little bit more comfortable taking those risks. And that's where DC can get a leg up, man. DC is willing to take risks publicly on the big screen, whereas Disney is not. They just got to start taking better risks.
Now, DC shoots its own self in the foot with Doom Squad and some of the other great shows that they've already kind of moved off to the side too.
Yeah, Doom Patrol rocks.
Or Doom Patrol, yeah.
And it's on HBO Max. The Harley Quinn cartoon series is amazing.
Really good.
They're investing money and they're investing time, but it's in the wrong place, man. Get this stuff up on the big screen. Let people really see. You know, it's like for the longest time, people who were fans of Warner Brothers or DC Animation, some of the like DC animated movies that came out for a while, like the Green Lantern movies that they were putting out, were like some of the best DC stuff ever. And it was all going direct to video. Like, it was so weird. Like, they have no idea what people want to see. So all that said, I agree with all of you. I am going to award points more so to OC. I'm giving you 6 points on this one. And my reason is this, because he took a kind of a hardline stance and said, yes, Marvel is good. Yes, Marvel will survive. DC is the less likely to survive. And the reason is kind of all of the reasons we've been saying. So I like that you made a decision. You drew between the two and you pinned your horse to a victor. And I like that. So I'll give you 6 points. Andrew, you rode the fence, which was fine, but I see your point on both, right? Like, I get that both can be successful. Mm-hmm. The problem is, for DC to be successful, I think they're going to need to have an entire turnover of their higher level creatives. It's going to have to happen. Because with the people that are in charge right now, it will not happen. They're just going to keep making the same mistakes because that's what they do. Kind of like the CW shows. They were great in the first couple seasons, but Greg Berlanti has been running that shit way too long. And now it's like barely watchable television.
Don't be surprised if DC's with Amazon or Netflix in the next 2 years too.
It wouldn't surprise me at all, man. Marvel aligned themselves with the House of Mouse. I would not be surprised. I'm going to throw out an even crazier idea. I think Netflix needs to jump all over trying to acquire DC. Mm-hmm. I would be 1000% down to see a Netflix controlled DC, because Netflix all is in. Already doing what I want DC to do, right? They're just throwing money at weird stuff. I want them to do that with DC. Yeah. Like, just throw money at weird stuff. So yeah, that would be my hopeful prediction. So Andrew, I'm going to give you 4 points for this one. And then Sarah, you kind of said the same thing as Andrew, so I'm also giving you 4 points on this one. So at the end of the first question of round two, Sarah, you have 12 points. Andrew, you have 15 points. And OC, you have 16 points. Oh, man, you're all just kind of like nosing each other question to question. All right. So this is where things get decided, right? This decides who moves on to the final round. Question two. This is an interesting one. To anime or not to anime? That is the question. With recent theatrical releases such as Demon Slayer, Mugen Train, and companies like the aforementioned Netflix backing up dump trucks of money to develop new animated series, is it time for anime to make the jump to mainstream? And should I watch it? And if yes, please explain yourself and sell me on a series. And if no, tell me why the world isn't ready for it. Let's go with Sarah. Go, Sarah. What you got?
I'm obsessed with anime. You should not have started with me.
All right, I'm in.
I think anime is ready to be mainstream. I mean, we had it on Cartoon Network in the 90s, Dragon Ball in the 80s. Like, it's been around, and I'm glad that the 90s kids are growing up and we're becoming the mainstream generation, and we are obsessed. I mean, it's the fact that they have Demon Slayer. Sorry, everyone. You can fire me now.
Demon Twitter Slayer. Is going nuts right now.
I saw that in the theater, and it was really, really good. And I'm happy to see animes coming to the theater. I like having that experience. I love movie going. Like, it's one of my favorite things. And to see that we're finally embracing it. I think the fact that now it's in theaters and getting regular show times, because most time animes have limited release in theaters, but that movie has been in there for months and is still like selling box tickets and is like off the charts with records. I believe it beat several Marvel movies with ticket sales. Like, anime is mainstream. We are there. That's my opinion.
I'm into it. Do you have a particular series that you would like to sell me on?
Okay. Netflix, if you're into Netflix and anime, Castlevania is amazing. It's a little bit action, a lot of drama, but it's really well done and superb. And it gives you a lot of like old anime vibes, like classic anime vibes. So try it.
All right. Into it. Let's go with OC. What do you got, OC?
Okay. So I was looking at this question, or I was listening to this question. Are we ready to go mainstream? That was the most comical thing to me. Anime has been mainstream for a while. Anime is mainstream. I mean, if you're not watching it, then I feel like that's your problem. But
whoa,
anime is mainstream.
Interesting choice to go after the host.
And you know, and I may regret that later, but I'm extremely passionate when it comes to anime. Anime has been around, like Pokemon, anime. And I mean, if you weren't a kid watching Pokemon or collecting Pokemon cards or playing Pokemon video, that was mainstream when it came out. Yu-Gi-Oh, Digimon, Dragon Ball Z, all of these things, anime that we grew up with, that all of those kids now are able to buy things. We're paying mortgages. So, I mean, like, that is mainstream, and we're getting our kids into it and all these different things. And when we think about mainstream and we think about going worldwide, like, we're not just talking about anime from Japan now. I mean, when you look at Netflix, you have things like Trece. It's from the Philippines. Like, you have, like, so many different things. Like, we're not just taking from manga. We're taking from manhwas from South Korea and from China. Like, we have so many different animation coming from that side of the world that, yes, it's 100% mainstream. We're talking about cons that have cosplays that are rivaling the cons of Marvel, of Marvel-centric conventions. So, like, we are way, way mainstream. And as far as recommendations go, I could send you like a whole list, but I narrowed it down for you just because we only got a little bit of time. So, I mean, you're a guy who likes like older, like, I'm sure you like older movies, like sure. Probably get some out of some 80s style. Cowboy yeah. Bebop, great anime to get started with, especially if you're an older soul. If you got kids, I love My Hero Academia. My Hero Academia is a very fun anime, but it has some adult undertones that are great for all ages. And then if you can take gore, but you like action, but you like great plot, and if you're not easily attached to characters, Attack on Titan is amazing. Like, these are all great things that you can easily get into, and I guarantee you they'll keep your attention.
Into it. I love it. I support it. And you know what? I appreciate the passion. Andrew, what do you got for me, sir?
So I am not somebody who I would say watches a ton of anime. And by that, I mean I watch almost no anime. And I think you guys are way too far in the forest to even see the trees anymore. Because anime, in my opinion, is only going to be so far mainstream in that, like, Pokemon is mainstream, but we're not going to have shows like you guys are talking about be fully mainstream. I just don't see it, because the way I look at it is, for anime to be popular, it's got to be Americanized for a mainstream audience to kind of pull into it, right? Like, so like you look at kind of like what Avatar Last Airbender did, Castlevania, I would say that that is a more Americanized version of what an anime could be, right? Like comparative to a lot of the other animes that are out there. Again, this is from the perspective of somebody who has tried to get into anime and have had a hard time doing it. You know, I've watched One Punch Man, which is actually really, really good. But that is like some really good writing. And I don't know, that felt just like a little bit different than a lot of the animes I had seen before. I watched a little bit of Sword Art Online because the first season was pretty cool. And then it got kind of weird. And then that's pretty much it as far as like my anime goes. And I just don't see this being a big mainstream thing. I mean, you know, you guys were talking about mangas and you guys were saying a lot of stuff. And I feel like I'm pretty pop culturally, you know, I don't know, plugged in, I guess I would say, with movies and pop culture. But like just anime to me has always kind of gone over my head. Even at cons when I'm there, it's like, oh, that's an awesome character. And I love to know about it. I love to ask about it. I really genuinely like what anime is as a community and what it can bring together. But I just do not see, you know, you turning on Fox on Sunday night and then you're flipping on, you know, a new anime episode after Bob's Burgers. Like, it's not going to be, I just don't see that. I'm so sorry, Ozzy, if, you know, you should respond to this, obviously, but because, you know, again, it's all perspective for me. You know, I mean, I Pokemon's always going to be popular, but you're not going to get people to watch Assassination High School or something. Like, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff out there that people are just not going to get into. And once they get too deep past that skin level of anime, it's a little weird, guys. It's a little weird for the mainstream.
But that's what Toonami was. Toonami was literally all anime Family Guy.
I know.
Literally what I was thinking, Toonami.
10:30 at night. It's not like it's mainstream. We're not talking about this is like on primetime Friday nights, guys. I mean, to suggest that Attack on Titan would be mainstream is like literally bonkers to me.
That was just a recommendation.
I know. But like, because that is a really popular anime, right? Like that's a big, and I know that it's probably really good. And that's actually one of the few that I would probably try to watch if I were going to really dig into one. But, you know, when you're talking about one of the better animes that exists or about like basically giant muscle people who look super weird all the time, that's just not going to hit mainstream. I just don't see it.
Can I add something real quick?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it doesn't have to count towards my points, but I'm just saying, I feel like I would have agreed with you like 5 years ago, but I feel like with all the adult level cartoons and stuff, that's the segue that's going to get anime.
So popular. maybe that's the thing, is that what's going forward is that there's going to be like a really thin layer of mainstream anime that could be your vehicle to get you in. Yeah. Your gateway drugs basically. Yeah. So we'll have a lot of gateway drugs. And then whether if you're not, you like that, maybe you could dive in a little bit deeper.
All right. I've heard enough. I will say this. Here's the thing. This was kind of a loaded question because I fall on both sides of the spectrum, right? I have two teenage children. Up until, and you guys are probably going to think I'm a freak, and I don't know why I missed the train. Literally never watched Dragon Ball Z, never watched Pokemon growing up, was definitely in the age range for it. It was all over my school for some reason. And it wasn't even like I wasn't into it. I just never came. It's like cocaine in middle school. Like I just never came in contact with it. You know what I mean? Like it just didn't happen. But what I found interesting is, so like anime has existed outside of my sphere for a long time. Once again, not intentionally, it just didn't creep into things that I was watching. So my kids came to visit two summers ago, and one of the things that they were like, Dad, you got to watch anime with us. You got to watch anime. And I was like, all right, fine. You each pick a show and you show me one and I will give it an episode. And then if I like it, we'll keep watching it. Right. So it's funny that you guys mentioned it. So one of the shows that my kids showed me was whatever that teacher one that you mentioned.
Assassination High School.
Yes. Assassination High School. And the reason they got me in, or they tried, where they were like, Dad, there's tons of murder in this. And I was like, sweet, I like murder. That sounds cool. I'm into it. And then I watched the first episode and I was like, there wasn't a single murder in the entire first episode. I'm out. I'm not watching any more of this. And there's a weird like octopus alien creature teacher thing.
There always is, isn't there?
And so, but then my other one was like, Dad, I know what you're going to be into. And they fired up Netflix and they showed me The Promised Neverland. And I was blown away. Like, I legitimately was like, this is some of the best, like, story writing that I have seen in a long time. And I watch a lot of movies and television, like an unhealthy amount of movies and television. And I was like, this is real good. If this is anime, I really like this. This is very cool. It didn't have a lot of the things that I normally associate with anime, with the look and the feel of anime. It just felt like kind of a dark turned cartoon, right? So then this summer, they came and they were like, Dad, we really want to go see Demon Slayer Mugen Train in the theater. And I was like, all right, well, the only way that that's going to happen is we have to binge watch all of Demon Slayer. And we did. And I loved it. And I was like, Demon Slayer is awesome. And it's super weird. And I was into it. So it was like that mix of like some of it is like straight nonsensical. Like I wasn't able to follow certain things. But for some reason, I really liked it. So all that said, I just want to tell my personal history with anime before I award points, because I kind of fall on both sides, right? I will say that OC, the passion, I totally understand it. I do have to agree with Andrew, though. I think the only way that something is considered mainstream is when it actually like crosses that borderline into like the everyday pop culture zeitgeist. And at this point, I think the only two things that have come close to doing that are going to be Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z. And I would almost consider them, and I don't know, but this is just from a non-anime fan, I would consider that like anime, like diet anime. Like that's Americanized, Westernized feeling anime. Because true anime is pretty bizarre. And I've tried watching quite a bit now, because like I said, I've only given you a few examples, but my kids are like inundating me with anime. Now, so I agree with you. I agree with the passion, but I don't know that I can get on board with it being mainstream like you think. But I understand where you're coming from. So I gave you 5 points. Andrew, I gave you 5 points as well, because you're just the yin to his yang, right? Like you also didn't disagree that anime can be good, but you also were like, I don't know if it's as mainstream as you think it is. Because I agree with the points that you said. I'm thinking like the day that a primetime anime series drops at that 7 o'clock hour, I'm like, man, anime has made it mainstream. Like when that starts airing like that, and I understand, Sarah, you used Mugen Train as an example. And to be fair, it has lasted as long in theaters and is making a butt ton of money because there is nothing else in theaters. And literally theaters have been clamoring for movies. My local theater here, which is like a multiplex Cineplex, has been playing like E.T. for the past 7 weeks. Like literally there's no reason that movie should be playing for a month and a half every day. But I do think that things like that should be in the theater more. I would go check them out. Like, and it doesn't just have to be like a, you know, some theaters do like culture spotlight where it's like, oh, we show this like limited engagement movie from another country. We're, you know, highbrow. I think it could be more of like a wide release, general release, and we'll see how it stacks up, you know? But I gave you 4 points because the one thing that I put in that question I had to ask of you, and it was a recommendation. If you were for anime, you were supposed to give me a recommendation. I'm so sorry. So that leaves you at 4 points. So at the end of round two, that brings us OC 21 points, Andrew 20 points, and sadly, Sarah 17 points. You must leave us now as we battle to the death for the reigning champion of the last word. So everybody say bye to Sarah. Thank you, Sarah.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye, Sarah.
Gentlemen, this is it. This is for all the beans, as they say. I don't know if they say that, but somebody says that, I'm sure. I'm very excited because this is the last round. I forgot a little song for this part, so it's the last round. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Electronic sounds. All right. One thing I do have to mention is the last round is brought to you by Geek Grind Coffee Company. Go to their website and you're going to use code PRONERD20 for 20% off your first order. I don't know why I made it all sensual, but I liked it. I just rolled with it. GeekGrindCoffee.com/project-nerd. Get your grind on.
Put it inside you.
That is not their slogan, but it should be. Get your grind on. Anyway, I'm sure they're really going to appreciate that.
I'm ordering.
They're going to be contacting us immediately. Right, they're after like, this. You is never allowed to do a promo for us again. People were logging in, asking for things that we don't have. We're a coffee company, damn it. but yes, go check out Geek Grind Coffee. They have all sorts of geek themed blends. They're really pretty awesome, so I highly recommend it. Guys, this is it. This is the battle, the coup de grace, if you will. This is for everything, all the imaginary points in the world are given out right here. So round three, here's the question. Fast and the Furious 9 is hitting theaters and some people are overjoyed.
This
Can
guy.
You believe that it has made it to 9 whole movies? All starting with a movie based on a magazine article about illegal street racing. Who'd have thought it would evolve into the beast that it has become? If you're a hater, then tell me what movie franchise has also gone on too long. And if you're securely part of the FNF
family, we family.
Tell me what other franchise should be so lucky to make it to 9 movies. Let's go with OC. OC.
There we go. Okay. So I am. Okay. So yeah, we got 9 movies, but let's not forget spinoffs. So like we had spinoffs as well. And I absolutely am all for Fast and Furious. Like, I like how outlandish they've gotten. I like that they're. Like, they got thoughts about going to space. They're probably going to do like an underwater one at some point. Like, I'm waiting for them to chase dinosaurs. Like, I'm all for them just doing whatever the heck they can to jump their car off of weird moving stuff. So I am all for the whole family. Like, we're good. As far as other shows that movies that I want to get this treatment, and we're kind of almost already moving in that direction. John Wick, that John Wick series. They have one of the best concepts. They have already started building lore to it. Like that whole organization that they have for it, they've kept the lore low key. Like they've put shooting people in the face, doing jujitsu, driving cars and random dogs into the movie. And they've made that the focal point. And then they've revived, like Keanu Reeves is amazing in this. And then behind all of that, they have created a lore. They have created currency, they've created backstory and underground, and they've made it so expandable to the point where you can wiki page things and you're just learning about the backstories of characters they haven't even introduced yet. Like, I am in love with the blueprint that they've built out for that, and I know that they've already signed on to make some more movies. I'm wanting them to expand that. Just keep going. Like, I want to see as many things as they can do with it. And then when you have the fight choreography that uses real jujitsu, I'm a jujitsu instructor. So watching them use real jujitsu in their fight scenes and then doing it with guns and in full suits, so impressive to me. Keep that series and franchise going.
I love it. Spoiler alert, I am a massive John Wick fan. So yeah. You got me right in the feels. With that one, Andrew, you better get me in the feels too, because that's already a tick against you. What do you got, Andrew?
OC and I are best friends now because Fast 9 and the Fast series is one of my favorite franchises ever. It is. You know, when you made a joke about Sharknado earlier, I was thinking you're going to make fun of the of the Furious movies, because it's kind of the same thing, right? But it's for some reason, I just love them, you know? I mean, when you have family that's that strong and that involved, you know, you could last forever. So really, that's what it comes down to. I hypothetically saw this movie like a year and a half ago. And let me just tell you, you have every right to be as excited as you are right now for what you're going to watch this weekend. It is, to me, I think it's the best current franchise in the way that, like, you have fun every time you go to one of these movies, you know? And it's like, even with the Marvel movies, you have fun and there's funny moments, but there's some really serious moments. I'm not one point do I think anybody's going to die. Do I think anything bad's going to happen? Like, anything is possible. And in this movie, they lean into that even more than ever. And it's in a very good way. And it sets it up again to do more movies going forward. You know, as far as like other franchises that deserve to hit 9 movies, you're either a crappy horror franchise that's already hit it, you're Tom Cruise and you're rolling up on that with Mission Impossible, you know, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of 9 movie franchises anymore. I mean, Wick is probably that was like the only one on my list that I could come up with that was far enough away that could still get there. You know, you look at like Jack Ryan, you know, it's a TV show now. I mean, we're more likely to get spinoffs and other things versus a continuation of movies. If you can count them in a series, I'm definitely down to see Transformers go 9. I am definitely down to see, I would be down to see, I know I'm like the only person on the planet, but Die Hard. I would like to see a Die Hard 9. I don't know what the Die Hard, you know, 5, 6, and 7, and 8 are going to be, but we'll get to 9 eventually. And I would be down to see more Final Destination movies too. So that would, I mean, I know we talked about horror a little bit before, but that would be the only other ones I could think of. 9's tough, man. That's why you know Vin Diesel's onto something. To get excited for the podcast today, I listened to some Vin Diesel music because he's an artist, guys.
You're gonna use that term loosely as far as in my courtroom. So I wrote that question as sort of a trick question to see if either one of you would pander to me, and neither one of you did, because I will tell you, you're speaking to the guy who went opening night to see Hobbs and Shaw in the theater. I also am very into the Fast and Furious franchise, but for very different reasons than, like, I also know some people who are into the Fast and the Furious franchise, and I'm into it in like a cool, only a few people are going to get this joke, a cool East Nashville hipster kind of way, like in an ironic way. I really like how like crazy and over the top it's gotten. For me, it's kind of like the Land Before Time of live action movies. Like, things just keep happening. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's like 27 Land Before Time movies. I didn't know that there was that much time in between dinosaurs existing and dying. Like, that's I think they've like ran the well dry and have chronicled all of it. The only way that either of those franchises could get better is if there was a Land Before Time and a Fast and the Furious crossover, which, if I'm being totally honest with the way things are going with Fast and the Furious, may not be off the radar. Like,
the land that, before the Land Before Time.
We are all family.
I will say, in awarding this one, man, this is tough. Because you both kind of said the same thing, and I agree, and I was hoping at least one of you would be like, oh, the host doesn't like this movie. But I should have known you both better than that. You have your own opinions, and that's what you're on the show for. So I'm going to go ahead and award points and quit stalling. I'm going to give Andrew 1,000 points, bringing you to a total of 1,020 points at the end of round 3. OC, I am going to give you 5 billion points because points don't matter, but you win. You're tonight's winner, and the only reason is because you got chosen first. And if Andrew, you were really going to talk about John Wick, I'm sorry, OC stole your limelight. Yes. And
that's fine.
That
that's
was
fine.
Like, he hit me right, like right here. John Wick is like one of my favorite current franchises, like ever. And so I would love to see that movie go into like, yes, a billion movies. I'm like, I want to Harrison Ford John Wick. Like, when Keanu Reeves is like 78 years old, I want to see him kicking weird Russian guys' asses for no, like, and barely making it with his walker or whatever.
Whatever it takes.
They would make a walker fight scene look badass in John Wick. I can guarantee you that. All right. So, Andrew, thank you so much. We'll
thank
have you back in a minute to say Peace. Goodbye to everybody. But for now, we're going to say bye to Andrew and OC. I'm going to get this overlay for Geek Grind Coffee off of you.
Oh, yeah.
And I am going to clear the space as well. And I am going to give you what all winners deserve here on The Last Word. And that is the proverbial last word. Do-do-do. It's the last word with OC.
I don't know how much time I got, but all I'm going to say is, yo, so glad to be on the show. Out in New Jersey, in Hamilton, New Jersey, we have Instinct MMA. It is a great place to train. I definitely recommend you guys check it out if you guys are in the area. Also, the only reason why I'm on this show is because of Mia St. Clair, who also works for Project Nerd. Definitely recommend you guys check her out on Instagram at The Every Model. She's out in Austin, Texas. Very good to look up. Check her out. Great pictures, great photos, amazing person. Definitely recommend you guys reach out.
Yeah, Mia agrees with you. I'm gonna bring us both back in here. Mia says yes to you saying that. She also said that that you and Andrew were the most opinionated people that she knows. So it was just a real like battle of the greats. You know what I mean? So let's see here. Let's drop this episode's champion banner. Congratulations, OC. I'm so glad you came back on an episode that I hosted, and you came home with the gold.
Yes, tonight. Thanks for having me. I needed to redeem myself.
Well, you surely have. let's bring back Andrew and Sarah. Thank you guys so much for competing on tonight's The Last Word. You can feel free to take this geek cred with you wherever you go. That you managed to make it through two rounds. And it doesn't matter that we didn't have a fourth contestant. So you both did it. I'm very impressed. But OC, you are the tonight's champion. Thank you guys so much. And
Peace out.
We'll see you next time with this guy on The Last Word.
See you guys.